Good morning. Welcome. It's good to be together. It's good to connect with you who are online today. It's wonderful to be God's people together on this mission together. My name is Rockford Johnson, and it's my joy to be together with you and connected with you who are online today. Let's remember together, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Ushers are going to pass the connection pads, and we appreciate you putting your name there as a way of saying, I'm in worship and celebrating the joy of the Lord. If this is your first time with us, please fill out a welcome card if you would care to, and leave it with the pastor after this service right at the back of this room or with one of our greeters, and we have a gift bag for you today. We appreciate that. Let us know how we can pray with you. You can go to our website, mcfarlandumc.org, click on the prayer request button, or of course turn in cards here today. And we appreciate that. It's our intention and our practice to pray with you and for you. Coming up on May 21, Saturday, the Norman Philharmonic has chosen to be here again. Dr. Zielinski, of course, is the conductor for the Philharmonic, and it's a great time for us to invite friends and family who may have never come to McFarland and experienced our facilities and the joy of this place, and so use that as an opportunity to invite someone and to enjoy some great music as well. I want you to know that tomorrow and Tuesday, Monday and Tuesday this week, our entire church staff will be out of the office, away for a retreat for working and planning and strategizing together and building our team together. And so the church offices will be open. I mean, the building will be open. We'll have security here for our daycare and for access for groups and persons who need to be in the church. So today we want to take a moment to celebrate. And we have a few guys here who are ready to help us do that. We want to celebrate how you, the church, has stepped up to the challenge of standing on the promises, securing the next century, as we've done this effort to gain the funds so that we can do the necessary repairs and upgrades and construction. And so because of your confidence and sacrifice and generosity towards a goal of $6,200,000, we now have received commitments totaling and here we go. $3, $93, $493, $9,493. $29,493, $129,493, and $6 million, $129,493. So you know what we've been saying from the scripture, amen to the glory of God. Would you say that with me? Amen to the glory of God. Thanks be to God. And let me say a word to you who are still praying and contemplating, figuring out how you will participate. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for your continued prayer and discernment. You know, we likely are going to surpass this goal. And since we began, we now have a war in Ukraine. We have inflationary pressures. And even though we built in considerable contingency towards those kinds of things, it will be healthy and vital and valuable if we do surpass that goal by quite a bit. And so all who've not yet participated, and I know are planning to do so, then we invite you to continue to discern. And you know, even the smaller gifts, which may be even more sacrificial, if someone gives $50 a month, over 3 years, that's $1,800 a month, and 10 people together, that's $18,000. It's the same as some one person giving $500 a month. And so God is at work among all of us to reach this goal to which we are almost there. Thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thanks be to God. Amen to the glory of God. I'm preaching in the 11 a.m. modern service in just a few minutes, and so I'll be leaving. It's not that I'm upset with you. I'm just going down there to preach. We're continuing our series, Return to Laughter, this Easter series, and today focusing on being skeptical of joy sometimes. And our senior associate pastor, Wendy Neal, who's an excellent preacher, great leader, wonderful pastor, will be preaching for us today. Thanks be to God. Let's stand to sing our first hymn, number 617, I Come with Joy.
Good to be together this morning. Let us join in our Return to Laughter Creed as printed in our bulletin. We believe in God who has made us in our Creator's image. We live, we love, we laugh because we bear likeness to the one who has created and is recreating us. We believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Lord and Savior. We believe we have the last laugh on the sting of death because of the risen one. We believe in the Holy Spirit who works within us, our counselor and guide who motivates us to return to laughter. Forgive us, Lord, when we take ourselves too seriously, when we don't accept the joy that is ours as your children, when we forget that you will have the last laugh in this world. Restore to us the joy of our salvation, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. In a little bit, we'll be reading from Genesis chapter 18, and I want to read this line from verse 14 as God is interacting with Sarah and Abraham. God says, "Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Is anything too wonderful for God?" Let us pray. Most holy and gracious God, there's so much joy and beauty around us each and every day. And there are things that we face individually, collectively, as a church, as a community, as a nation, as a world, that try to rob us from the beauty and the wonder of your creation. But this morning I ask, O God, that you will help us to begin to seek the wonderment of you. As we interact with family, as we interact with friends, as we cross paths with strangers, as we serve those in need, as we catch the laughter of a child. Help us to be overwhelmed each and every day by the beauty of what you have created, by the joy that comes in our relationship with you. Help us to relish the opportunities to serve others in your name. Help us to know that we can create a world, each and every one of us can create a world that is like the world you want created. That we can be your instruments of peace and hope and joy and laughter to a world that desperately needs to know that and to hear that. We ask, O God, that we can experience you anew, over and over again, not only in this worship service, but throughout each of the coming days and weeks. And I give thanks today, O God, for this congregation, the way that over and over again, they continue to exceed expectations. Whether it comes from standing on the promises or the way that we're serving in the community and around the world, I give thanks, O God, that we as a church are buying into the wonder that comes in our relationship with you. And so bless us now as we continue in our worship. In Christ's name, amen.
Please stand and join us in singing hymn 138, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is," 138.
Thank you. We give thanks to God for God's incredible blessings and thank you for your faithfulness to give to McFarland, to make McFarland a place that really is changing lives that change the world. Today is First Fruits Sunday, and it marks the beginning of the fulfillment of our commitments to the Standing on the Promises campaign, our gifts that we are giving to do the necessary repairs and upgrades to this building, to our food pantry ministries as well. Several of you have already given all of your commitment in advance, and we are so grateful for that. Many of us are prepared to give today our first offerings to this campaign, either our first installment or even a 10% or more of our total 3-year gift. We welcome whatever you are able to give today. If you are giving by check, please put promises in the memo line so that we will give that to the capital campaign. And you can also give online on our website, on our app as well. We are standing on the promises to secure the next century here at McFarland, and so for that, we say amen to the glory of God. You may be seated.
You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the 18th chapter of Genesis, verses 9 through 15. Hear now these words. They said to Abraham, "Where is your wife, Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening as at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I've grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. And he said, "Oh, yes, you did laugh." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Oh, holy God, we give thanks for your word, and we come today to feel your presence among us, to be filled with your joy, with your laughter. And so, God, we pray that you would open our hearts and minds that it may be so. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there are just some experiences in life that take us to the very edge of our ability to trust and believe that God is working for the good of those who believe in him, as the Apostle Paul says. You know, those moments where you lose your job and you wonder how in the world you're going to find another one. Or you learn that the cancer has metastasized. Or you look at the person you've shared your life with and you realize that it's over. Or you turn on the news and you learn of another shooting, another bombing, more refugees, more lives lost. And it may take a while, but in situations like that, the stress you feel can easily push you beyond the limit of how long you will continue to hold on to hope and to God's promises of joy and abundant life. And most of us, from one time or another, we have faced these times of doubt and skepticism. And unfortunately, in those kinds of situations, our faith can seem pretty empty. And the only kind of laughter that we can muster is that dismissive laughter of skepticism. You know, in the Genesis story that Scott just shared, we encounter this kind of skepticism from a couple who has lived with the unfulfilled dream of being parents. And now, in their old age, they are being told that their dream will come true. The matriarch Sarah, Abraham's wife, laughed. She laughed at God's improbable promise to her that she would bear a child and become the mother of nations. And then she lied to God in an effort to deny her doubt. You're standing at the entrance to the tent, Sarah eavesdropped on Abraham as he spoke with these three travelers who had visited him. And they brought this unbelievable message from God that about this time next year, Sarah, your wife, is going to bear a son. This was actually the second time that Abraham had received this promise. And when he had heard it the first time, he fell down on his face and he laughed and he said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man who is 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And in our our passage today, Sarah responded the exact same way when she overheard the mere suggestion that she would have a child at such an old age. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I'm worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure? And Sarah laughed in this skeptical disbelief. And God called out her doubt, at which point she lied and denied. She was afraid. And so she said, I did not laugh. But God said, yes, you did laugh. And so I wonder for Sarah, was it kind of a giggle of nervousness, or was it a guffaw of incredulity, or was it a chuckle of delight? Perhaps a snort of impossibility? Now I wonder. Now, some months ago, I remember a pastor saying that he told this Bible story about Sarah to a group of residents at a nursing home for a chapel service in which the average age of the residents was 90. And when he finished reading it, he asked the women there, would you like to be pregnant? And he said, you should have heard the giggles from the women. They all looked at themselves and then at one another, and he said, you know, in their faces you could see the memories of pregnancy and childbirth and two-year-olds running wild. And then they looked at each other in their wheelchairs and their walkers, and they laughed and they laughed, these deep-throaty chuckles of relief. He said not a single one of them volunteered to be a mother again. You know, we are not given a description of Sarah's laugh. But the text reminds us that Abraham and Sarah, they were in their retirement phase. They were moving on to that gracious retirement, many years past childbearing and toddler chasing. After I have grown old and my husband is old, Sarah wonders to herself, shall I have pleasure? And it's in the prediction and in the overhearing of Sarah's thoughts and words that God's power is revealed. And God asks Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Is there anything that is too wonderful for the Lord? You know, many years later, the angel Gabriel will reassure Mary, another woman who's contemplating the impossible ways of God. He would say to her, is anything too difficult for God? You know, God's question and Sarah's response, they reveal God's faithfulness and Sarah's doubt. Why did she laugh? Because she was old. And children are born to the young. She laughed and she lied because what God was promising seemed absurd and beyond possibility. Her response was entirely human and not really surprising. From a human perspective, her disbelief was completely understandable and even appropriate. People do not give birth when they are 90 years old. Her skepticism and laughter, though, evoked one of God's greatest rhetorical questions, which is the whole point of the story. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Is anything too silly or absurd or laughable for the Lord? Now, this kind of skeptical laughter is a kind that people like you and me know well. You know, if you're a teenager, there are times when you laugh because you think your parents will never understand you. And if you're a parent, there are times when you laugh because you wonder if your kids will ever grow up. And if you're married and you're desperately unhappy, there are times when you laugh because you wonder if you will ever find a way out. And if you are single and lonely, there are times when you laugh because you wonder if you will ever find a way in. And we laugh because we think we will never get out of debt and never get free from our past and never find someone to love us, never find a place to call home. We laugh, Sarah's laugh, not because we have faith, but because we find it difficult to have it. You know, that's the difficult truth that is being held up to us in this story. That faith is not a reasonable act. And that the promise of God is not just a conventional piece of wisdom that is easily accommodated to everything in our lives. Abraham and Sarah laughed because they had reached a dead end in their lives that they had adjusted to. They had accepted their hopelessness just the way it was, probably many years before God revealed this promise. And they accepted it just the way that, if we are to be honest, that we too accommodate ourselves to all those barren places in our lives where the call to believe in a new thing that God will do seems absurd, nonsensical. And yet there is another kind of laughter to which the promise made in this story also points, a very different kind of laughter. It's the laughter not of Abraham or of Sarah, but of God. The laughter of a God who keeps his own counsel and works his own will, whether we have the faith to see it or not. And sometimes we have to wait to share in this kind of laughter with God, just as Abraham and Sarah had to wait too. So I want to share a story that a pastor tells of how joy and laughter really can surprise us. He talks about one Christmas season many years ago. He says that I was deep into feeling sorry for myself. Susan, his wife, he says, Susan and I had been invited to a party thrown every year by two friends of ours named Lori and Joy. Lori was a marriage and family therapist, and his wife, Joy, was a child therapist. They were a couple who loved each other immensely, and the annual Christmas get-together was a way in which they shared the joy that filled their hearts. We were both looking forward to the party when, as it turned out, Sue ended up being scheduled to work that very evening. And reluctant to go by myself, I settled into a blue funk for the next couple of weeks and had decided to stay home, when Sue suggested an alternate possibility. Why didn't I crash the party in disguise? He says, Sue and I had been fascinated with the art of clowning and mime during those years and had spent considerable time studying the art, practicing with other professionals, developing routines of our own in which we would show up unannounced to present a gift to an unsuspecting friend. And he says, I was really hesitant to follow Sue's advice in spite of knowing Lori and Joy well enough to feel comfortable planning such a surprise for them. But nevertheless, at the last minute, a spirit of mischievousness got the better of me, and before I knew it, there I was one wintry night, trudging through the drifts in my clown clothes and grease paint, tooting my clown horn at the front door to announce my entrance, and then whisking past the surprised faces of the assembled guests before anyone could think fast enough to slam the door in my face. He says the house was wall-to-wall beautiful people, and Lori and Joy were nowhere to be seen. So So I decided to start a room-to-room search, playing with the guests as I went. And with a few exceptions, most everybody was a cooperative group, permitting me to anoint them gently with pieces of Christmas tinsel and then mime beautiful as I pretended to stand back and take their pictures. Well, by the time I reached the dining room, I had 50 people in tow, all of them wondering what I was going to do next, when Lori suddenly spotted me from across the room and yelled, "What is that clown doing at my party?" He says I was in luck. He didn't recognize me. And after doing my shtick with him for a few moments, I pulled out two small gift wrap packages, one marked Lori and the other marked Joy, and I mimed to Lori, "Where's Joy?" Lori played along as we searched the house, guests in tow, until we found Joy talking with some friends in the front entranceway. And there, with all of the guests looking on, I maneuvered Joy and Lori into position and bid them open their gifts. Two snazzy black bow ties complete with flashing red lights. And Lori obliged by putting one on under his collar, and Joy tied hers around her head. The 6-foot designer Christmas tree in the living room was suddenly envious of all of the beauty. He says, then I invited them to put their arms around one another as I pretended to take their picture and backed out the front door to make my getaway. And just before I closed the door behind me, Lori realized who it was. And with what I thought just might be a catch in his voice, I heard him say, "Thank you, my friend." He says 4 days later, Lori called. And I could tell as soon as he started that something was wrong. He said, "I've tried calling you half a dozen times," and his voice was starting to crack. "But each time I started crying and I hung up. My heart was in my mouth. I was too afraid to say anything." He said, "You had no way of knowing, of course. But the night of the party, Joy and I were in the midst of the biggest fight of our marriage. We had both made attempts to make up, and we just couldn't get it together. And by the time guests started arriving, we were doing our best to avoid each other. There was this huge wall between us. And then this clown shows up, dresses us up in fantastic bow ties, and makes us hug each other." And the pastor says at this point, I could hear him choking back the tears. He says, "And the wall suddenly came tumbling down." He says, "By then I was in tears, and for a few moments, neither of us said a word. And then just before he hung up, Lori regained his composure just enough to blurt out, 'Thank you, my friend, for one of the best Christmases of our life. Christ the Savior is born.'" And he says, "When I got off the phone, I thought I heard the unmistakable echo of laughter coming from somewhere deep down at the very heart of things." You know, most of the time, we are prepared for everything except the possibility that behind the great darkness in which we live our lives so often, there is great light and joy prepared to burst through the skepticism that we have about what is possible. That joy is there for us to stub our toes on and to trip us up when we least expect it. That kind of joy is a treasure beneath our feet. And when when the day does come and that something that is too wonderful does happen, the laughter of our skepticism is transformed into the laughter of sheer joy and a newness that comes alive within us when we believed that it was never possible. And so thanks be to God that He is a God who turns our weeping into joy, our tears into laughter. May it be so. Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for those unexpected surprises of joy that you give us from time to time. And God, whether we live our days and our moments in darkness or whether just once in a while, we all know that we could stand to have more joy in our lives. And so God, help us to have our eyes and our hearts open to the things that you truly can do. And let us believe that it is possible. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. I invite you to turn to page 12 in your hymnals as we prepare to come to the table today. And just a reminder that this is the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not the table of the United Methodist Church, and so everyone is welcome and invited to come to receive this free gift of God's love. You will come down the center aisles. You will receive the bread and the juice. You are welcome to stay and to stand or kneel and take your elements here to pray for as long as you would like and then return to your seats by the outside aisle. Just a reminder that on Communion Sundays, we always take up a special offering for our Thursday Utilities Assistance Ministry. All of that money goes to support the folks who come every Thursday looking for assistance. And so if you would like to leave an offering for that, you can leave that up here at the altar. When it is time, our choir and those in the balcony will be invited to come first. And just a reminder that we sing our responses together, and those responses with the music are found on page 17. And so let us now hear Christ's invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Thank you.
holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The table is set. You may come. Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery, for the way you are so present and at work in our lives. God, help us to see that, to feel that, to experience that, and then to share it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand for our closing hymn, number 670, Go Forth for God.
Good to worship with you today. And now as you go forth with hearts wide open today so that you can be surprised by God's joy. And the God of Abraham and Sarah and Isaac, the God of laughter, whose love and goodness is eternal, bless you and keep you. And go forth to share a little bit of that joy. Go in peace. Amen.